So please welcome Margaret Lang.
Thank you. Well, this is quite incredible, as Michael felt like he was doing Gene's best hits. Miraculously, I'm going to be doing one of your covers, okay? In a way, it's there. So a few days ago, my little brother turned 52, and we had a birthday party for him. And one of his gifts was a whole pile of Oreo products. There was real Oreos, and then all their various variations of Oreos that they've come up with through the years. And he looked at that and he said, "Thank you very much, but I've been off of Oreos for 2 years. So I don't know if you knew this about Oreos, but they are actually classified along with heroin." And they are. No, not really, but they should be. And it did take him a long time to get off of Oreos. But this brought up for us a memory that we have of my mother's Oreo moment. And this happened a long time ago on Vine Street in Santa Maria in the kitchen. And I have two little brothers, Hank, who turned 52, and Mike, who's 50. They were about 2 and 4 at the time. And it was in the morning. It was kind of a foggy, gray morning. They had already had 2 Oreos each, but that's not enough. And so they wanted more, and they kept needling my mom. "Mom, just one more, one more, one more." And this went on for quite a while. And I don't know exactly what was going on with my mother that morning. I don't know if it was this whole combination maybe of being frustrated, like wanting to get back to school and or work, or missing her family back east and not wanting to be stuck in a small little town and just feeling what it's like to be in her early 40s with another batch of kids. You know, she had my sister and I in the 50s, and then they had another batch in the 60s. It's like, whoa, and here's these two little boys, these adorable, red-headed, blue-eyed, beautiful little boys who are turning into demons, addicted Oreo demons, just, please, and it hit some crescendo. And my mother took the whole pack of Oreos over her head, and as she was slamming them to the ground, she said, "You watch your bleeping Oreos, I'll give you your bleeping Oreos," and went onto the ground, the whole pack onto the ground. And that felt good, I'm sure, but it wasn't enough, because she had to do more, and she was wearing in the 1970s footwear that was really popular, maybe some of you remember, wooden clogs. And so she had her wooden clogs. And then so she leapt on top of the pack of Oreos and then proceeded unintelligible screaming and screeches like this, and arms are flailing and the knees are going up and down like this. And there's this crazed woman, and then it's like she looks like she's in an animated fountain of Oreos, like the Oreos are shooting up from the package, the crumbs like this, and she's screeching. And my poor little brothers are standing there in the kitchen. I'm watching this all unfold, standing and looking at her like with shock and fear. They didn't realize their mother could do this. And I know there was a lot of grief in there, because they knew there was going to be nothing left of these Oreos. That was it. Like, you know, every stomp, that was one less chance they were really going to get another Oreo. And we love to tell that story, and we laugh about it. And then it reminds me of my own similar thing, because I have a Melmac moment. So when I was a young mom, I was in San Jose. I had 2 little girls. And I moved to San Jose from Santa Maria, which is a very small town. San Jose is a big city. I had no car. I had 2 kids. I hardly knew anybody. Very little money, and I had a husband that was very difficult, and a terrible marriage, okay? So it was tough. It was really tough. I had a lot of challenges. And this one particular day, They were fighting. And as we know, kids will fight. And there's something about sibling rivalry that I don't think anyone really tells you about the power of sibling rivalry before you have kids. It's something really, really special. And they will, they'll just go at it. And you just, sometimes you just can't stand it anymore. And that's what was happening this one day. They were fighting again. Who knows what it was about? And I had a Melmac bowl in my hand. And it was a very boring, homely Melmac bowl. There is Melmac that's very pretty. Some of you might know it has flowers or colors. This was like somewhere between tan and beige with no patterns. It was a simple, ugly Melmac cereal bowl. And their screeches reached a crescendo that hit my brain. And I took the bowl and I slammed it on the counter in 5 slams. And it went something like this. I am so tired of this shit. And on the shit, it shattered. I shattered Melmac. And my poor little girls, they looked at me. And they were shocked, and they were scared. They didn't know I had superpowers. And my youngest, she came up to me, and her little lip started quivering, and she said, "That was my favorite bowl." Yeah. So we have our Melmac story, which I'm glad to have, but I am not proud of that moment. And I've thought about it a lot through the years. You know, I look back and I say, I look at that young woman in that kitchen, and I say, oh man, you know, she had a lot of challenges. What would I do differently? What would I say to her now? And I'd say, I'm going to give you a hug, because I'm going to have a whole lot of compassion for you. And then I'm going to say, reach out, there's help. And I'm going to say, you know, you may not feel like you passed the test today, but there's another day. There's another day. And this big old university we call life, right? We're going to pass some tests, and we're going to think we fail some tests. But I think as long as we keep learning to love ourselves, love each other, we can be on the honor roll. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.